Once upon a time, in a galaxy far, no, not that way. Once upon a time, there was a plant so powerful, it controlled economies, shaped empires, and then poof, gone. Vanished from the earth like a ghost, leaving behind only whispers of its existence. This plant was so valuable, it was depicted on currency, which back then was an honor usually reserved just for gods or emperors. It was so sought after that it was hoarded in vaults alongside gold, and its sudden and mysterious disappearance was so important that it changed the course of history, leaving a void that echoes even to this day. What was this plant? What powers did it hold over these people? And how did it simply disappear? Welcome to the History of Plants. I'm Megan Bream. Today we are delving into the incredible story of Silphium, the ancient world's most precious plant and one of history's most fascinating and tragic botanical cold cases. Part 1, The Secret of Cyrene's Prosperity. Our story starts in the ancient city of Cyrene, a Greek colony on the coast of North Africa in what is now Libya. Picture a bustling city full of merchants, sailors, and farmers. Their prosperity was all thanks to one amazing plant, Silphium. Cyrene wasn't just any city, it was a major trading hub, and its success was completely tied to this one extraordinary plant. Cyrene was officially founded in 631 BCE by Battus I and Greek settlers from the island of Thera, which is modern-day Santorini. These settlers were looking for new opportunities and fertile land, and they found it on the North African coast among the Berber tribes already living there. But it wasn't just the good climate that drew them to this spot, it was the presence of Silphium. Cyrene was a busy place with its harbor constantly packed with ships carrying silphium and other goods across the Mediterranean. Take a moment and imagine the sights and sounds of that. Exotic spices are filling the air, people are speaking hundreds of different languages, a marketplace overflowing with treasures from all over the known world at the time. And because of its location on the North African coast, Cyrene was at the heart of these trade routes connecting the Mediterranean with the African interior, making it even more important. Now here's the thing about silphium. It only grew in a very specific area, a narrow strip of land about 125 miles long and 35 miles wide right near Cyrene. This limited range made it super rare and in high demand, which of course is where our story gets interesting. It's, you know, like that adage, what's rare is valuable. This patch of land became Cyrene's treasure. It was basically the equivalent of a botanical gold mine that shaped its future. Silphium scarcity made it incredibly valuable, turning Cyrene into a major power in the region. But this also meant that its fate was tied to this one plant, which would ultimately lead to both its rise and downfall. Part 2, The Allure of Silphium. So you're probably wondering right now, what is silphium, or what was silphium exactly? And that's the question that has been bugging historians and scientists for ages. We have descriptions of it, even, I guess, pictures on old coins, illustrations on old coins, let's call it. But we are missing a crucial piece of the puzzle, and that is the plant itself. Silphium itself has a dramatic origin story. Ancient writers tell of a black rain, which was a storm so intense it seemed to stain the very earth. And from that dark, drenched soil, silphium miraculously appeared. It wasn't planted or cultivated, it simply sprang forth, a gift, some believed, from the gods themselves. This mysterious birth story made silphium even more special. It wasn't just a valuable plant, it was imbued with a sense of, I guess, the sacred, for lack of a better word. One thing we do know, silphium was incredibly versatile. It was a culinary delight, its stalks were eaten as a vegetable, its roots were pickled, and its sap, which is called laser, was a prized ingredient in Greco-Roman cuisine. It even played a role in beauty with its blooms used to create perfumes. Farmers valued it too, believing that sheep who grazed on it produced the most tender meat. And perhaps most importantly, it was a medicine. Ancient texts like Pliny the Elder's Natural History describe it as, quote, one of the most precious gifts of nature, end quote, recommending it for everything from warming chilled bodies to curing coughs and bruises. It was even used for birth control and, as Pliny delicately puts it, quote, to purge the uterus, end quote. We'll just leave it at that. Even so important that it ended up on their coins. It's like, imagine if we swapped Benjamin Franklin's face for a Monstera Albo on the $100 bill. You know, like, that's how vital it was to them. It was a symbol of their wealth, their identity, and their connection to the land. Silphium was essential to Cyrene, but its influence and its fate would soon extend far beyond those borders. The growing Roman appetite for this incredible plant would have profound consequences. Part 3, Silphium versus the insatiable Roman Empire. Silphium was Cyrene's not-so-secret weapon. It was the source of their wealth and power, but its story was about to explode on a much grander stage because it was about to meet its match. The Roman Empire, a civilization with an insatiable appetite for the exotic and the valuable. Imagine Silphium's world suddenly exploding a thousandfold. It was about to go from this local treasure in Cyrene to a highly prized commodity across the vast Roman Empire. And this dramatic transition would have huge and ultimately tragic consequences. See, the valuable part of the plant was its resin, or laser, which was carefully harvested and processed. Think of it like modern-day true vanilla bean or even saffron. Incredibly valuable, highly sought after, and essential for certain flavors, medicines, and perfumes of the time. It was, in essence, liquid gold. The process of harvesting, preparing, and transporting laser was incredibly complex, consequently creating a vast network of traders, merchants, and middlemen who made a killing from the silphium trade. Think of like the specialized labor involved. Harvesters who were skilled in identifying and collecting the plant, knowing when it was ready to be harvested. Processors who knew the secrets of extracting the resin. Merchants who managed the long and oftentimes dangerous journeys across the sea. And retailers who sold silphium to eager customers. The wealth generated by this trade significantly contributed not only to Cyrene's prosperity, but many other people's prosperities too, who were interlinked with this. The wealth generated by all of this trade significantly contributed to Cyrene's prosperity, turning it into a major player in the ancient world. Over time, Cyrene grew to become so powerful that the entire region around it, encompassing other settlements and territories, became part of it and was then known as Cyrenaica. Ships were sailing from this area, their holds overflowing with silphium, destined for bustling ports of Alexandria or beyond. From there, it was carried along the intricate network of Roman roads into the heart of the empire. And these weren't just trade routes, really. It wasn't like the Silk Road. These were arteries of commerce, pumping silphium and Cyrene's wealth into the Roman world. The Romans, obviously masters of trade and conquest, quickly recognized silphium's immense value. It wasn't just another spice or medicinal herb. It was a strategic asset, a symbol of wealth and power. And they wanted it, a lot of it. The Roman conquest of Cyrenaica in 96 BCE was a pivotal moment. The Romans, recognizing silphium's strategic importance, didn't just want to trade for it, they wanted to control it. Sounds kind of fitting for the Romans, right? To them, it wasn't just a valuable commodity, this was a strategic asset that was essential for maintaining the empire's economic and political stability. Julius Caesar himself even kept a significant reserve of silphium resin in the Roman treasury. They incorporated Cyrenaica into their vast empire, effectively taking over the silphium supply chain. The Roman Empire's extensive network of roads and sea routes facilitated the efficient distribution of silphium throughout the vast Roman Empire. Suddenly, silphium was available, and not just to the wealthy elite, but to a much wider population. But this increased access, this explosion in demand, sounds great, but it actually contained the seeds of silphium's destruction. Part 4, the big come down. Silphium had one fatal flaw. It was incredibly picky about where it would grow. It just wouldn't thrive anywhere except that small strip of land near Cyrene. And this one stubborn fact, combined with the huge demand from the Roman Empire, was a recipe for disaster. Overharvesting was practically guaranteed, as everyone was trying to get their hands on it. The Romans, even though they were amazing farmers and ran a massive empire, could not get silphium to grow anywhere but that one small area. Think of how frustrating that must have been to the Romans. They could build roads that ran for miles, aqueducts that changed the way cities flourished, they could conquer entire nations, but they could not control this one plant. It was like a botanical slap in the face. That small strip of land near Cyrene, where silphium thrived, became essentially a killing field. As the demand went up, so did the pressure on wild silphium. People were taking too much too quickly and not giving the plant a chance to recover. And then there was overgrazing. Sheep and other animals were eating what's left of the silphium, making it even harder for it to survive. It was a perfect storm, downward spiral. Everything was just not going the way people wanted it to for this plant. And a black market popped up too, making the problem even worse. As silphium got rarer and more valuable, some people tried to make a quick buck by selling it illegally, which meant even more overharvesting. But overharvesting isn't the only problem. It's not the only culprit of this tragedy. The timing of silphium's disappearance roughly corresponds with what's known as the Roman Warm Period. This warming climate likely made the narrowed native range of silphium less hospitable, as the plant was probably adapted to cooler, more arid conditions. Increased evaporation would have made the environment less suitable for silphium's growth and may have even affected the soil chemistry and the tiny creatures living in the soil, making it harder for silphium to thrive. Adding to all of the environmental pressure, the expansion of agriculture and settlements in Cyrenaica led to widespread deforestation. This also altered the local climate by reducing humidity and groundwater levels, further degrading the conditions silphium needed to survive. As more land was cleared for farming, silphium's native habitat in the southern steppe was encroached upon, pushing the plant farther down the margins. The ancient Greek botanist Theophrastus even noted that as the land was, quote, brought under cultivation, silphium retired, indicating that it couldn't tolerate the disturbance to its environment. It was the perfect storm of factors: overharvesting, overgrazing, a burgeoning black market, a warming climate, deforestation, and habitat destruction. Even if the Romans had been more careful with their harvesting, it's possible that silphium would have struggled to survive in this changing environment. Thinking about today, it's a sobering reminder that even powerful empires cannot control the forces of nature, and that human actions can have an unintended and devastating consequence. It's also believed that Nero received the last stock of silphium as a gift. When silphium finally completely disappeared, so did Cyrene's prosperity. Without the revenue from silphium, their economy collapsed. Trade died up and the city's influence waned. Eventually, Cyrene fell into relative obscurity, being a shadow of its former self and a cautionary tale of what can happen when a civilization's fate is tied to a single, irreplaceable resource. Part 5, The Search for Silphium and the Lessons We Must Learn. The disappearance of silphium isn't just a historical footnote. It is a stark reminder of the fragility of our plant heritage and the power of human impact. Modern scientists are still actively investigating silphium's true identity, trying to piece together the puzzle of its existence and its extinction. Was it, as some believe, the inspiration for the heart symbol because of its heart-shaped fruit, consequently leaving an enduring mark on our culture? Was it a hybrid, unable to reproduce reliably, making it vulnerable to environmental changes? These are just some of the questions that continue to drive research. And the search for silphium continues. Over the years, various plants, particularly within the fennel family, have been proposed as potential candidates for silphium. Mahmut Miski, a professor at Istanbul University, published his findings in 2020 that he believes Ferulea jordanea, a plant found in Turkey, is silphium. He based this on its look, resin, and chemical makeup. However, a 2022 review in Heritage, let's just say aggressively, challenged this theory, stating that it doesn't bear any significant resemblance to silphium any more than the other potential candidates. It kind of reads like the authors of this review took offense to the very idea it could still exist. I will link to the review because it's pretty good for a little botanical shade. But the search for silphium isn't just about finding a lost plant for funsies. It's about understanding our past so that we can protect our future. By studying the complex interplay of overexploitation, habitat destruction, and possibly even the climate change that led to its demise, we can gain valuable insights into the delicate balance of ecosystems and the potential consequences of our actions. Silphium's story underscores the need for sustainable practices and responsible stewardship of our planet's resources. It teaches us that even a plant as valuable and seemingly ubiquitous as silphium can vanish from the earth, a victim of its own success and the relentless pressures from a growing civilization. The fact that silphium's extinction might be one of the first recorded instances of a human-induced, climate-related extinction makes it even more significant. It's a chilling reminder that our actions can have profound and irreversible consequences on the natural world. It is a lesson we cannot afford to ignore. Though silphium itself is lost to time, perhaps only for now, its legacy endures. This plant's story continues to fascinate historians, botanists, and anyone curious about the intricate and sometimes destructive relationship between humans and the natural world. It's a tale that has captured imaginations for centuries, continues to inspire research and exploration, and brings out some pretty catty research papers that are kind of fun to read. Perhaps one day, some dedicated researcher or a stroke of luck will uncover the true identity of Silphium, solving this ancient botanical mystery. Or maybe, hidden in some remote corner of the world, a surviving population of this elusive plant will be found, defying the odds and offering a second chance to study and protect this botanical treasure. Until then, the story of Silphium remains a captivating blend of history, mystery, and a powerful historical warning for our times. I'm Megan Brame. Thank you for joining me on another episode of The History of Plants. Jump into the commentary episode on Patreon or check out the video version of this episode on my YouTube channel, Plantrums. Until next time, greenies, stay curious and don't forget to flourish.